thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. This episode is presented by preaching minister Josh Yeager. Let's tune in now for Josh's message.
It was 1993 in Pennsylvania, and it was about 90 miles north of Pittsburgh. And there was a guy by the name of Donald Wyman, who's a logger. He's working by himself, and he had the unthinkable happen. Maybe you even remember hearing about this story, but a large tree rolled onto his left leg, crushed it, and trapped him. And he was there alone. He reported that he shouted for nearly an hour. When nobody came, he assessed the situation. He realized he was bleeding profusely. He didn't know if anybody would come until it was too late. So he applied a tourniquet. I'm not sure what the tourniquet was. Maybe it was his belt or something like that. But he applied a tourniquet to his leg. He cut through the skin of his leg with a pocket knife. And the broken bones, the bones were crushed, so he didn't have to go through bones. But he just had to go through the skin. And he amputated his own limb. Then he crawled to his bulldozer that was about 500 feet away. He drove the bulldozer to his pickup that was parked about 2,000 feet away. He then drove a manual transmission vehicle about 2 miles to the home of a farmer who then called 911. And Wyman's statement at the hospital in a barely audible voice was powerful when he was questioned about what happened. He said, "I had a life and death situation, and that was my only choice, life or death. And I have so much to live for, therefore I chose life." For us today, we are also in a life and death situation. Because our faith in Christ, because of that faith, our life is secure. I mean, we are secure. We have salvation. But many of the people around us are not. Therefore, the people around us are in need of a mature disciple of Jesus. They need us to live out our faith in an attractive and engaging way. You know, if there's anything that's true about Jesus, it's that people who were nothing like Jesus liked Jesus. Right? People who had nothing they were not like him at all as far as their standards, their style of living. They were nothing like Jesus, yet they liked Jesus. And this world is in need of people who are mature followers of Jesus, who are stepping into lives and engaging and attracting people to the way of Christ. But it's no walk in the park to get to that place. It's not easy to get to a place of maturity. In fact, it's usually a pathway that is marked with these intense trials to get to the place of maturity. And you know, sometimes we're kind of almost beat down by how much more amazing Jesus is than us. Or maybe we've seen somebody who is just incredibly mature and we think, oh, there's no way I can reach it. But we are called to go on that journey because this world needs mature followers of Jesus who are engaging and attracting them to Christ. And that pathway to maturity is often marked with a good, maybe it's a Texas word, I don't know, ordeals. You know, you've heard that phrase. That's quite an ordeal that you went through, you know. It's also a biblical word. It's also a word that Peter likes to use. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, Peter says this to a group of churches who are in Asia Minor and they're going through a particularly difficult time because of their faith. He says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. So, as I thought about these fiery ordeals, and as I thought about all the different ordeals that people could go through in life, I realized that Peter's audience was really going through one particular kind of ordeal. There's actually a lot of different ordeals that we as people and humans go through. Of course, Peter's audience was having a particularly difficult time because they were new Christians in the midst of a polytheistic world, or maybe even new Christians in the midst of a Jewish thinking world. And so they were going through one particular trial or one particular ordeal. But as I thought about this, I realized there's actually three different kinds of ordeals that I identify. You could probably identify more. But with each one of those ordeals, we're faced with a choice. Just like Peter's audience was faced with a choice with how they were going to respond to these trials of their faith, we also have a choice with every ordeal that we go through. So I just want to give you kind of, and this is from Josh, okay? This isn't necessarily from Scripture. This is just dealing with real life. But the first type of ordeal that we often go through is a circumstantial ordeal. You know, it's a circumstance. It's something that happens that we have no control over. You know, something like a death in your family. I mean, you can't control who lives and who dies. And when you lose somebody close, when you get that call that somebody was in the accident, or when you get that call that something happened, you know, massive heart attack or something, and somebody is dead, we are faced with a circumstance that we can't control. When you get the word from your doctor about that sickness that you have, or maybe it's a sickness that a loved one has, that there's just nothing we can do about it. We can't treat it. We can't, you're just going to have to let it run its course. Or maybe there's some options, but they're not good. Or maybe it's a job loss. You know, your company takes a hit financially, and so it has to lay off some of its employees. Or maybe you make a mistake, or maybe your employer makes a mistake, and you lose your job. Nothing you can do. Maybe you made a poor decision. You know, you thought it was the right decision, but it was the wrong decision, and you have to live with it. Or somebody else makes a decision. You ever had to live with somebody else's decision that affected you that negatively? It's not fun. It's a circumstance, or maybe it's just a disaster. You know, like a tornado shows up and knocks your house down, or a house fire, or, you know, some kind of disaster happens and there's just nothing you can do. And so with a circumstantial ordeal, we have a choice. Will I learn something from this? We have that choice. You know, we have the opportunity to learn something. We have the opportunity to lean on God. But that's not the only kind of ordeal that we deal with. The second one is a faith-oriented ordeal. This is when you have an opportunity that raises up in front of you. Maybe somebody makes a statement to you about Jesus that's not right. And you have the opportunity to look into that. Ask them. You know, we've been talking about in my evangelism in a post-Christian culture class on Wednesdays, we've been talking about when somebody makes a statement about Jesus that you know is not true, it's not an opportunity to attack them. It's actually an opportunity to say, why do you believe that? What brought you to that place? Have you always believed that? And when you ask those questions, you get to hear some of their story. And when they share some of their story, it immediately builds a bridge rather than building a wall. And you can say, you know, I don't really believe it that way. I don't see it that way. Do you mind if I share something with you? Do you mind if I share my beliefs with you? You have an opportunity. Or maybe God impresses something on your heart. You know, he puts a burden on your heart. And you have the opportunity to pursue that burden or to ignore it. Or maybe somebody that you know or and respect makes a suggestion to you and says, you know what? See this in your life. You know, the sad thing is that most of us don't have a relationship close enough where somebody can actually say that. But when somebody actually does say, hey, I see something about your life that could change, needs to be tweaked, or needs to be, something needs to be done about it. And we have an opportunity to grow. It's a faith-oriented ordeal. Or it could be something like what Peter's audience is going through. You know, Peter's audience in 1 Peter, they are being attacked because of their faith. Have you ever been attacked for your faith? I mean, thankfully, the majority of attacks that we've received as Americans are really small and pitiful compared to what Peter's audience was probably experiencing. It really was a life or death situation for them. There were people that were killed in this time period because of their faith in Christ. But what do you do when somebody attacks you because of your faith? I think of Acts chapter 3 and 4, where Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray, and they see the lame man, and they heal him, and it gives them an opportunity to preach. But then what happens after that? They get arrested, right? And they're brought before the Sanhedrin, and they say, "You better not talk about that name anymore." And I love how they respond. They say, "Who are we to follow? Are we to follow the words and the leading of men, or are we to follow God?" And I mean, they're faced with literally life and death. You know, I think about the opportunity that Silas had in Acts chapter 15, when Barnabas and Paul had gone on this great missionary journey, and they had planted churches in all these different places in Asia Minor and around the Mediterranean Sea, but along the way they had picked up somebody named John Mark, and John Mark didn't turn out. He left in the middle of the journey. Well, when Barnabas and Paul got back to Antioch, John Mark wanted to join him again. And Paul says, "No way, you're not coming with us this time because you left us in the middle last time. We were depending upon you." Well, Barnabas, being the son of encouragement, that's what his name means, wants to give John Mark another chance. But Paul says, "No way." So Barnabas and John Mark go, lead a missionary journey that we don't know anything about. And Paul picks Silas. Can you imagine being Silas and this incredible missionary saying, "I need a partner, and we're not going to places that are really friendly to us"? And if you know anything about the story of Paul and Silas, they end up in prison, they end up beaten, they end up in shackles. You know, they end up in really difficult moments and times. You know that when you're joining Paul, you're joining adversity, you're not joining something that's easy. But Silas has the opportunity. You see, when we have an opportunity or when somebody attacks our faith, we have a faith-oriented ordeal that is coming to us. It's in our court, and we can choose something. We can choose to engage, or we can choose to avoid. It's your choice. It's my choice. It's our choice. When we encounter that faith-oriented ordeal, we have the choice to engage or avoid. Silas could have said, "No way. No way. Paul, I've heard the stories about what you did on your missionary journeys. I heard about, you know, the stoning and stuff like that. You know, I'm not joining you. No way." We could have been Peter and John, and we could have been, you know, we could be threatened for what we're doing in Christ, and we could have, and they could have said whatever the Sanhedrin wanted to hear, knowing that inside they didn't believe that, but they could have said whatever they knew the Sanhedrin wanted to hear and say, "Okay, we won't preach in Jesus' name anymore. You know, fingers crossed behind our backs." Or they could stand up for their faith. Will we engage or avoid? And the final ordeal that we face as Christians is one that we often don't think about, and that is a purposeful ordeal. A purposeful ordeal. In other words, I go looking for it. Now, there's a difference between good purposeful ordeals and bad purposeful ordeals, okay? You can have a constructive ordeal, or you can have a destructive ordeal. And what I mean by that is sometimes Christians go and look for fights, okay? This isn't what I mean by a purposeful ordeal. I think about, I guess it was in 2015, the big Starbucks Red Cup controversy. You know, I think about that. And, you know, basically a bunch of Christians got upset that Starbucks took their, you know, Christmassy looking things off of their red cups and just made them red. And you know, people posted YouTube videos about, how Starbucks couldn't say Merry Christmas. And one guy actually got on there and told the people that, "My name's Merry Christmas." And so they had to yell Merry Christmas when they, you know, set his cup on the thing. I mean, I was just ridiculous. But I think about how all, and then of course the CEO of Starbucks got up and said some dumb things. He said, you know, we don't need your business anyway, Christians. but what makes me sad is that in some circles of non-Christians, one of the most memorable things about them for Christians in 2015 was that a bunch of Christians got mad about a cup. And they didn't, it wasn't memorable. Their stand for Christ wasn't memorable. Their stand was for a cup. And sometimes we like to look for fights like that when there's actually a greater fight to be had. And that's for people's souls, not for a cup. And so when we're looking for a purposeful ordeal, we're going to stay away from the destructive things that take away from Christ, that take away from a good view of his church. And instead, we're going to seek constructive ordeals. And what I mean by this is like Jesus walking into the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. I mean, think about that. Jesus walks into the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. He had just been baptized, and he was ready to start his journey, but he goes into the wilderness seeking connection, seeking a power of the Spirit. He was led there by the Spirit, by the way, and he goes into the wilderness, and he fasts. And you don't fast just to fast. You fast because you are seeking direction. You are seeking guidance. You are seeking prayer. You are seeking connection to God. So he steps into the wilderness, and he basically looks for an ordeal to go through to bring him to the place where he is ready to start his ministry. And so when we're looking for a constructive ordeal, we're going to step into something that's going to make us more in the image of Christ. So something like prayer. Maybe we're looking to add a new discipline to our repertoire. If you've ever tried to add a new discipline to practice on a regular basis, it is difficult. I mean, if you've ever just tried to start a workout or exercise routine, how many people have ever done that and failed? Just raise your hand and admit it. Just admit it. It's hard, isn't it? I mean, you start something like that, and it's not easy to do. And when you're looking to add something into your life that's going to bring you closer to the image of Christ, when you're seeking to add maybe fasting or praying, or maybe you're seeking to read deeper and more spiritual rather than just simply reading the words, it takes time and effort, and it's not easy. It's an ordeal. You know, one of the things that it requires for that is for you to have margin in your life so that you can begin to participate in those disciplines and activities that grow us. You know, as soon as we don't have the time and the space to begin to engage or grow or look for ordeals that will grow us, you're too busy. This is American culture, guys. This is something that every single one of us has to fight, because what American culture teaches you is to fill yourself to overflowing, and then you don't have time to grow. Read books. Hear from the giants of faith. Walk alongside the people who are walking beside us. Develop a mentoring relationship, whether it's you mentoring somebody or somebody mentoring you. But the reality is that sometimes it hurts to pull away from those things that stunt our growth, because that's what it often requires. And that's the ordeal, is to pull away from those things that are stunting our growth and to instead reach for those difficult things that will grow us. Maybe I can explain it with a story. So there's a Greek painter who lived in the 3rd century BC. His name was Timanthes. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. But he's a Greek painter, and he's known for his great painting, The Sacrifice of Iphigenia. It's now regarded as one of the greatest masterpieces of antiquity. And I know some of you are looking at that. That's weird, you know. But This was painted in the 3rd century BC. It's incredible. Well, he mastered his craft under a very capable tutor. And I actually couldn't find his name. If somebody finds his name, let me know. But I couldn't find the tutor's name. But after several years of being mentored, Timanthes birthed an amazing painting. He had been working with this tutor for years, okay? And he birthed this amazing painting, and he was so proud. It wasn't this one, by the way. He was so proud, he was so pleased that he would walk into the studio, and instead of working on his art, instead of working on his abilities and his talent, he would just sit and stare at his painting. And this happened for several days. And one day, one morning actually, the young artist enters the studio to stare at his painting some more. And he found it daubed and blotted over with smears of paint. I mean, it was barely recognizable. Furiously, he confronted his teacher, and his teacher gladly admitted to destroying the young man's painting with this explanation. He said, "I did it for your own good. That painting was retarding your progress." Something that he had accomplished, something that he had done. But it was retarding his progress. And so the question for us when it comes to these purposeful ordeals and the choice that we have is, will I look for new ordeals that will grow me, that will promote growth or not? I mean, this is so hard because, like I said, American culture, we are taught to just fill everything so that there's no room for pursuing these purposeful ordeals, stepping into these places. And so the question is, will I look for new ordeals that will promote growth or not? So that brings me to the final principle of spiritual growth that we're going to talk about in this month of spiritual discipline, of spiritual growth. And that is that your level of spiritual growth is linked to your perseverance and response to the ordeals in your life. Your level of growth is linked to your perseverance and your response to the ordeals in your life. I love the way James, the brother of Jesus, puts it in James chapter 1. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Consider it pure joy. Man, I mean, that's how many people look forward to going through a fiery trial? How many people? I mean, we don't have that mentality. You see, in the early days of the church, adversity, trials, ordeals, whatever you want to call them, they were commonplace. They happened every day. They happened to the early church all the time. And for them, adversity was a natural part of the Christian walk because it was new. It was a fledgling movement. Nobody believed in Jesus. And for you to believe in Jesus and call Jesus Lord meant that you didn't call Caesar Lord. When you called Jesus God, that meant that you were estranging yourself from the Jewish synagogue. You were pulling back from everything in society that was thought as normal, and you were doing something radical. You were following Jesus. For them, adversity was a natural part of their walk. They saw value in enduring through difficulties and trials. But the reality for us is that that's really not as true for us as it was for them. And here's why. Because we run into the problem at this point. And the problem is that we are predisposed to comfort instead of perseverance through adversity. That's just the reality for us. As 21st century Christians who live in a Western culture, you see, when we face those circumstantial ordeals, the death, the sickness, the job loss, whatever, what we often do is instead of looking to learn something from it, we instead numb it through entertainment, through food, through some other kind of addiction. We numb it. We take those circumstances and we just try to forget them rather than leaning into God and saying, "God, what do I need to learn from this? How can I grow in the midst of this?" A lot of times we just like to withdraw from the circumstance and just let it run its course. And then we try to step back into life just kind of forgetting it. I think God would want us to lean into him in these moments, to see what we can learn, to see how we can grow. When we face the faith-oriented ordeals, what do most of the time? I mean, we avoid. I'm too busy to engage. I have this opportunity, but you know what? I mean, we think of all these reasons why we're not going to take that opportunity. Or maybe God puts a burden on your heart. And so what we do is we go and we talk to somebody at church about it. We say, hey, this would be really great for us to do. And we try to hand off our burden to somebody else. And maybe that person will be like, okay, that sounds like a good idea. We'll do it. But they're not going to do it the way you want it because they don't have the burden. God put the burden in your heart. You do something about it. You see, whenever we have these faith-oriented ordeals, a lot of times we like to avoid them or we like to hand them off. Or maybe when it comes to the purposeful ordeals, we simply don't have time or take the time to walk into the wilderness like Jesus did. We don't take the time to pull away from those things that are retarding our growth. We don't realize often that this is a life and death situation because we have life. I mean, if you grew up in the church and you are a Christian today, you have life. You have salvation. But it is literally life and death for us to mature and grow to a place where we are going into the world and being salt and light wherever we go. It is life and death. It is essential that we grow spiritually. So I just want to I just want to end this series with two practical guidelines on perseverance and sticking through the ordeals. And these are things that I've just kind of learned in my life, and I'm going to try to pass. I may change my mind on these things. Okay, so this is Josh's thing, and these may be lessons that you've already learned. But I just want us to remember two things when we're seeking to persevere through the trials. And the first thing is that our efforts are tied to something and someone greater than the moment or the effort itself. Our efforts are tied to something and someone greater than the moment or the effort itself. In other words, the efforts that we make have intrinsic value in and of themselves. In other words, there is something valuable about simply doing it, whether the outcome is as you wanted or expected. Do you understand? Does that make sense to you? Okay, because a lot of times, I have people ask me about, how do I pray? Or how long should I pray? Or what should I be doing when I pray? What should I be saying? And a lot of times, I'll take them to Scripture and I'll say, yeah, there's some great stuff in Scripture about prayer. And, there's a lot of truth to be found about prayer in Scripture. But here's just something I want to give you. If you're praying, you're doing it right. Okay? It's not about doing it right. It's if you are praying, if you are talking to God, you are doing it right. Prayer, along with many other spiritual disciplines, it's not a skill to master. It's a relationship to embrace. You see, there is something about what we do that is valuable, even when we don't think we're doing it right. When we do it for God, we are doing something that has value. So often, we step into these situations where we try to engage somebody with our faith and we say something that is just so dumb. There's value in that because you learned something. You see, our efforts are tied to something and someone greater than the moment or the effort itself. Second bit of advice, develop joy in perseverance. Develop joy and perseverance. And you're like, okay, that's hard. You're right. It is hard. Let me see if I can explain it this way. So I have worked. I've really tried my entire life to develop a regular exercise schedule. And I've just never been able to stick to it. You can ask my wife. I mean, the first decade of our marriage, it's just been like me trying one exercise schedule after another and just trying to, you know, and then I'll drop off for 6 weeks and then I'll give up on it. And it's just always frustrating. And what I realized is that I wasn't doing something that I enjoyed. And through something, I don't know if it was God or something, but Roby Christie, many of you know him in town here, he bought me a bicycle. and he got a bunch of guys from 10th and Broad to pitch in and make sure it got bought. And he got me that bicycle. And I've been more consistent with exercise after 2 years of having that bicycle because I'm doing something that I enjoy. It's not because it's easy. I mean, I'll tell you what, getting ready to ride 100 miles in a 100-degree day is not an easy thing. It's not because it's easy. It's because I enjoy it. And so when we can find something that we enjoy, do it. Don't keep doing something that brings you no joy. And here's a spiritual example. So another thing that I've wrestled with my entire life is reading the Bible. You're like, you're a preacher. How can you struggle with reading the Bible? I struggle with reading the Bible because there was this gold standard that I remember being held up all the time about reading through the Bible in a year, you know, and I remember people talking about, yeah, I've read through the Bible like 10 years in a row now. And I mean, I tried to do it and I did it one time, okay? I did it one time and by the end of that year, I was dreading every morning getting up and reading the Bible because I didn't enjoy it. It wasn't fun. It was so much scripture to take in, and it was honestly just too much for me. And so I started looking, and I found these things that are called a meditation commentary. And there's nothing scholarly about this. It's called a commentary, but it's not scholarly. All it has is it has a section of scripture, and it has three questions. And the section of scripture is anywhere from 6 to 20 verses. And when I found that, I found myself, I couldn't hardly wait to wake up the next morning to read it and to meditate on it and to ask questions and to work my way through the text and move to a place of prayer. I couldn't wait to get up. And the other neat thing about these is that there's only 5 days in a week. And so 2 days, I would actually have a rest. And I found that having that rest from that, you know, feeling of I've got to get up and do my reading, I found that rest was good for me. And it made me seek out and be joyful about what I got to do after those 2 days were over. And so what I mean by develop joy and perseverance is find something that really excites you. If you're not excited about your Bible reading, find something that makes you excited. You know, look for different strategies, different ways. Don't just sit there and gruel through something that doesn't bring you joy. And I'm not saying that joy is like the ultimate standard, okay? I mean, and I'm not saying happiness. I'm talking joy. Develop joy and perseverance. You see, when that circumstance arrives, be prepared to let God shape you through it. I mean, when you face that difficult time, when we can, instead of withdrawing and finding ways to numb that circumstance, when we can instead say, God, how are you going to change me through this? What are you going to do? How am I going to come out on the other side different than the way I'm entering the tunnel? And I believe that we can begin to develop joy and perseverance. So this morning, as we wrap up spiritual growth, as we move to a new value next week, I would just encourage you to really think about, how am I going to look at these ordeals of life? How am I going to look at the circumstances? How am I going to look at the opportunities, the faith-oriented opportunities that I have in my life? How am I going to begin to form margin in my life so that I can take those opportunities? How am I going to begin to form margin in my life so that I can begin to pursue the adventure of walking with God? I mean, that's something worth considering. That's something worth thinking about. And I would just ask this morning that you think hard. How can I grow? Let's continue in worship this morning.